So turn with me tonight, if you would, in the Bible, in your Bibles, to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. And we want to focus on one verse, and that would be verse 7. So I know that everyone that's planning on having the Sundays here in just a little while, I know that your mind's on that ice cream, but if I can have your attention just for a little while, then you'll get there soon enough. Kind of like a child opening up a Christmas present. When a parent says wait, then that's hard to do. But so y'all are just going to have to wait just a little bit longer. But we're glad that you're here. Appreciate those that listen online and watch online. And there's a faithful following of individuals that, from what I'm understanding, don't miss a service. So we're grateful for that. And so we're thankful for that ministry and the efforts that go into that ministry. And so we should never take the different ministries of our church for granted. Those individuals that work and labor. And so we appreciate all the different ministries of our church. And also how that it's important that we get the word out. And so by way of internet, we have that opportunity. So we appreciate that. So Psalm 57, the Bible says in verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Think about that just for a little while tonight on this title, "My Heart is Fixed." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come back together and that we fellowship one with another, and how that I'm so grateful that we can do that, and how that we can fellowship and we can love each other, and how that we can rejoice over the music and all the songs, and Lord, most importantly, how that we are able to sit around the Word of God, and how that you speak to our hearts in various ways. And Lord, so I pray that you'll do that tonight. I pray that you'll help us and strengthen us, not knowing what we're going to face this week, not knowing the challenges that are in front of us, not knowing the different news that we might get or just any of those things. But we're grateful that we can look to you and that we can find help and comfort and peace. And Lord, help us to be fixed on you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist says, "My heart is fixed." And not only did he say it one time, but he repeated it. So he repeated, "My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed." And as we begin tonight with our message, I can't help but think of the testimony that is displayed by those words. I can't help but think about what is taking place in the psalmist's life. The psalmist was probably, it was during the time that Saul was pursuing and was in pursuit of David. And how that David fled from Saul, who hunted him. And so there was a lot of pressure that was on David. And he had to be always watchful of the things that was taking place. And during these times in his life, it seemed to be difficult. And I don't know about you, but it just seems like life sometimes pursues us. It pursues us in various ways, much like Saul was pursuing David. But he stood firm. And that's our challenge tonight, is that we stand firm in the midst of all of the troubles and all of those things, and have confidence in God. David had confidence in God, and God showed him goodness, God showed him mercy, and God showed him love all during these trials. It didn't mean the trials were necessarily going away, because Saul was in pursuit until eventually God intervened. But David was ready to praise him. David was ready to praise God. And there's something that we need to consider tonight, and that is none other than fixing our heart on God. Fixing our heart on God. The cares of this life can change in a moment. Situations, circumstances, problems can change in a moment. But David chose to look beyond his pursuers and look to the Lord. And so I want to begin tonight with the first point of this. David's heart was fixed on an unmovable truth. David's heart was fixed on an unmovable truth. And we get that from verse 1. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul thirsteth for in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." The shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. So David knew that it was a situation that as he was being pursued, that pursuit was going to continue until God intervened. But yet in the midst of that, he found a resting place. And that resting place was the unmovable truth of the Lord. And that's what his heart was fixed on. His heart was fixed on that unmovable truth. And when it says, "In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge," then it was a refuge of protection. A refuge of protection. He was being protected under the shadow of the Lord's wings. The pressures of life beat down on us like the sun on a hot day. And just a few weeks ago, we had, it seemed like, plenty of rain. We had a lot of rain that was going on. But just recently, over the last few days, then it's been a consistent heat. And it's been a consistent. Let me ask you a question. How many of you feel like in the heat of the day, like it was today, that you would like to stand out in the parking lot for several hours? There's very few of us that would want to do that. Because of the pressure of the heat. The pressure of the heat. And so David saw that there was relief in the shadow of the wings which he made his refuge. So he saw that there was relief even though he was getting pursued and even though he was getting hunted, if you will, by Saul. He saw that there was peace and there was refuge in the shadow of the Lord's wings. Now, growing up, I remember the different tobacco fields that people would work in, and I remember the different farms, my grandfather's farms, and all those things. And although there was a time period that they worked in the heat, there was also a time period in the day that the workers would find a shade tree. They would find a shade tree. I remember when I first started working in tobacco, I was in fifth grade, and we were living down east at the time at around Fremont and Goldsboro, and believe it or not, it was a place called Eureka, in that area, and I remember making a little extra money, and I remember he would put the owner of these fields, the owner of the farms, would hire out different people in the community and different workers to work in the tobacco field. And down east, it was a little different. The tobacco was a little different than in the mountains. But I remember one of my jobs as a young fella, one of my jobs was to top and sucker the tobacco. And we would break the tops out, which had the blooms, and then we would reach in between the leaf that they wanted to for it to grow, and they would break what was called a sucker in between. And the reason they wanted to do that is they wanted the nutrients of the ground and all those things to make the other leaves healthier. And I remember that he would set us out on in the morning, and then he would make his rounds, and he would set two of us out in this great big field, and that we were to work the fields. And he was the type of farmer that he didn't want you to stand around. He expected certain rows to be done, and me and the guy that I was working with, we were both about the same age. He was, I think, 1 year older than I was, and he was actually a neighbor of mine. And we would walk the fields, and we would top and sucker tobacco. And I remember looking, it would be hot, and I remember looking, we would always look for the farmer to come back. And what he was doing, he would give us a break, and he was always bring us a pack of Nabs and a Coca-Cola. And we didn't sit out in the, we still had a job to do. The sun was still hot, but we didn't eat our Nabs and drink our drink out in the sun. But the first thing we looked for was a shade tree. And we needed that little bit of time for a little bit of rest. And we needed that rest. And I remember growing up, my grandfather and my uncles would do the same thing. And so as I was putting this message together, I got to thinking, well, what is the importance of that shade tree? What is the importance of that time period that we're resting, even though there's still a job to do, even though the sun is still casting that pressure? What is the importance of those things? And so here's a couple of things that you might agree with, or maybe you could come up with your own things. But this is the things that I thought of. First of all, that shade or that shadow is a place that we can find rest. We can find that rest. We sit down and we never stood up to eat our Nabs and drinks. We would always find a place just to sit down. If it was in the ground or if we were leaning up beside a tree, whatever it was, we would look for a place to rest. And that shade would give us some relief from that pressure. It was also a place to get a cool glass of water or a good old Coca-Cola at the time. It was a place that we could get refreshed. A place that we could get refreshed. It was also a time to find fellowship. Because we wouldn't be talking about, well, I'm going to get this row next or I'm going to get that row next. No, we took a break from what we were doing and we would just kind of have a conversation and we would fellowship. And then it was a place to simply get a break from the pressures of sun. We would get a break from the pressures of the sunlight. And there was a lot of things that I didn't understand as a child until I began to work, until I began to experience the pressures that those that were in these fields had to endure. I didn't understand. I didn't appreciate the shade, or I didn't appreciate what that tree gave me until I experienced it. Well, let's look at David just for a minute. And he says, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And ultimately he was saying he would be there until the calamities be overpassed. So he was taking that same application. And in the shadow of the wings of our Lord, where he found refuge, he found rest. He found a cool place. He found fellowship. He found a break from the pressures of the pursuer. You see, that's what we look at when we think about the shadow of thy wings, is just simply applying what God has given us and applying from the dealing with the pressures of life or what it is that seems to be pursuing us, and we can find comfort in the shadows of the wings. But it's also a place that we can find protection. When I was visiting my grandmother just before she passed away, I would drive up every Wednesday because I was off at the time on Wednesday, and I would drive to Asheville for several months because I knew that her days were short, and I wanted to see her as much as I could. There was a time that I would leave early, and I didn't want to get to her house too early because she was in the bed, and she was at that time she was bedfast, so I didn't want to get there too early, and I was I stopped by this park in Weaverville, a little city, a little town, I guess, that I used to live in, and I went by this park, and so when I went by this park, there was this lake, and so I found a park bench to sit on. And little did I know the park bench was occupied by a mother duck and her little children. So as soon as she saw me, well, first of all, she didn't like me being there. And I tried to tell her I wasn't going to hurt her, nor was I going to hurt her children. But she still didn't understand. So I literally watched her call her children, and I'm calling them children, and she was calling them, and I remember the very last one, she took one wing and opened it up and pushed them along. Now you think about what God does in our life, how He protects us, and how He calls us to safety. You see, David understood that. His heart was fixed on that unshakable truth. The truth that we have protection in God. The truth that we can rest in the shadow of thy wings and make our refuge. The truth that we can rely on him and find that protection on him even though there's calamities. But yet he also says the calamities will overpass. So it's not going to last forever. The struggles of life are not going to last forever. The struggles and the pressures that we have are not going to last forever. But I appreciate the fact of that shade tree. I appreciate the fact of that comfort that we can find in the shadow of His wings. And we have refuge in that shadow of His wings. Now the second thing that I think about tonight is this when it comes to David's fixed heart. And that is this. David's heart was fixed on that unshakable trust, that unshakable trust. He hid from the enemy, but still praised. He trusted God. He trusted God even though that he was being pursued. He trusted God. He trusted more in the Lord's presence than the enemy's power. And that's something for us to consider tonight and something for us to think about, that we should trust more in the Lord's presence than in the enemy's power. And what the enemy can try to discourage us or try to destroy us or try to do whatever it wants to us, then we need to understand we can trust in the Lord's presence more than what the enemy can throw at us. Psalm 56:3 says, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. And then in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2, the Bible says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore will I joy. Or will joy, shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation? And in the day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doing among the people, make mention of his name, is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. You see, we can trust him. That unspeakable or unsearchable trust, we can trust him. I will trust him and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. Growing up, I never did have to learn to trust my daddy. I never did have to learn to trust him. He used to take me in some of the... My daddy liked fishing. He loved to fish. And I guess that's where I get it from. But we lived up in the mountains. And if you've ever been up in the mountains to try to do any kind of fishing, you've got rivers and you've got streams and you've got ponds and there's danger around all of it. And I remember I was young. I hadn't even started school yet. And my dad took an adventure, and he took an adventure and took me fishing. And I remember, if you know the area any at all, there's a river that runs through Asheville and down through Marshall, and it goes into Tennessee, and that's the French Broad River. And I remember growing up that there was a place that my daddy always liked to fish. And there was this great big rock that he would fish off of, and he would throw his line out, and he would fish with the current or down below the current. And I know my mother cringed with him taking me fishing, because I was pretty active. And just like any young boy, or girl for that matter, it was hard for us to sit still. And he would tell me when we were on that rock, because that rock, to me as a little fella, it probably wasn't very deep, but to me as a little fella, it looked like pretty deep water. And he would tell me to sit still, and when he caught one, when he caught a fish, he would get me to reel it in, which was a lot of fun. Take your children fishing. That's what I... But never once was I afraid, because my daddy was with me. Never once was I afraid. I didn't have to learn to trust him. I didn't have to learn, well, let's... I want you to take me out three times fishing, and if nothing happens to me in the third time, I'm going to start trusting you. It wasn't like that. The moment that I stepped out of the car, the moment that I got in the car, the moment that I started walking down that path, I never once didn't trust him. So let me ask a question. Why do we have to learn to trust God? Why do we have to learn? Why can't we trust him like a child trust a mom or a dad? I never had to learn to trust my dad. It came natural. It came natural. David trusted in God. Even though he was pursued, even though there was problems, even though there were trials, even though there were circumstances that David couldn't control, he trusted God. He trusted God. This is how David felt as Saul pursued him. David declared that his heart was fixed on God. David declared that his heart was fixed on God. So I asked the question this evening, and that is this. What can we declare today? In our relationship with God, what can we declare? Saul was pursuing him. Saul was after him. Saul was hunting him. But yet David says, my heart is fixed on God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. He sought it needful to sing and to give God praise. And I see it needful for us and even me in my life, because he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our singing. He's worthy of us giving thanks. He's worthy of these things. So what can we declare today? Well, I jotted down a few things that we can declare. And first of all, we can declare that we are saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Aren't you grateful? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, verse 9 says, lest any man should boast. We can declare the grace of God. We can declare that we are saved by His grace. We can declare tonight that as our heart is fixed on Him, we're singing praises and we're declaring in praise, we're declaring in song that we're saved by grace and nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to make it any better. There's nothing that we can do to finish it. He's done it all. He's done it all. What else can we declare? We can declare that we are sure by His grace. Declare that we are sure by His grace. Romans chapter 5 verse 2, the Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we are sure by His grace. What else can we declare? We declare that we're saved by grace. We're declared that we're sure by grace. And we also can declare that we are secure by grace. Secure by grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're sure, secure by His grace. You see, there's a lot of things that we can declare tonight, even in the midst of these trials and even in the midst of these things. There's a lot of things that we can declare tonight. Do you realize that we can declare our strength comes from His grace? Our strength comes from His grace. And I won't read all these verses, but you can in your time as you think of them. And that's in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So we can find strength by His grace. Strength. You know, our strength tonight does not come from ourselves, because we're pretty weak individuals when it comes to the pressures of life. But I find my strength and you find your strength in the strength of God by His grace. You see, it's all by His grace because we're not owed anything. See, that's the problem with our world today. Our world thinks that they're owed something. They're owed something. In other words, they feel like that they're owed these things. But you see, what we have in the Lord is simply by His grace. And we haven't earned it, but He has freely given it. He has freely given us these things. And therefore we can declare it, and therefore we can praise Him and sing those songs, is because our hearts should be fixed on Him. Not on the things of this world and not of the things of this world, but we're fixed on Him. Something else that we can declare. We can declare that we are supplied by His grace. Hebrews 4:16. We are supplied. He supplies our need. And we're grateful for that. And I think of the fact that, you know, sometimes, and even in David's case, David trusted, and David knew he was getting pursued, and David found refuge in the Lord, and he knew that his refuge was found in the Lord until these calamities be overpassed. But you see, he had to be refreshed daily. He had to be refreshed daily, and we need to be reminded daily just of the grace that He's going to supply our need. He's going to supply our need. I think of that verse, give us this day our daily bread. Doesn't say give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread or our yearly bread, but it's our daily bread. There's times in my life growing up, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, but there's times, and I didn't understand it. I was too young to understand. I understand now, but there was times that they weren't sure where we were going to get our next meal. They weren't sure, and they were trying to do whatever they could. But you know what? I didn't ask my parents, where's my next meal coming from? I didn't ask them, those things. I learned the hard way that you don't ask those questions. I made a mistake one time, and it was during those years to where I guess everybody's gone through them, but it was during those years that, you know, as a child grows up, there are things that a child has to learn. Now, if you're one of those children that never gave your parents any trouble, thank God for you, because I can't say that. There were some times in my life. Now, I wasn't terrible in my mind, but yet I did give them some trouble. But there was a time, and I didn't know how difficult finances were. And there was a time that my mother was making supper, and I asked her. I said, "What are we having for supper?" And I had just gotten out of school and had been out playing in believe it or not, at that farm where the tobacco was. And I came in the house and I said, "What are we having for supper?" She told me what we were having. And my comment was, "We're having that again?" Almost like I wasn't thankful. And my dad had walked in and I didn't know it, and he overheard it. It wasn't good. And he sent, you know, after he took care of business, he sent me to my room and he said, "All right." He said, "You're just not going to eat." And so, I was sitting on my, well, I really wasn't sitting. I was laying on my bed. And I thought to myself, "Uh-oh, what have I done?" And I could hear him, because he left the door cracked on purpose. And I could hear him in there eating at the table at the time. That's what we did. We all sat around the table to eat. And I could hear him. And I could smell it. And so, you know, a little feller, he gets hungry after a little bit. And so I guess it was somewhere maybe around, I'm figuring it was dark. I'm figuring somewhere about 8 o'clock. And, I see my mother come and check on me. And my mother always wore this little blue jacket. I don't understand it, but she always had this blue jacket on. And so she came in to check on me, and I just kind of looked at her and she had a pocket full of crackers. And she said, "Don't say nothing about this." And so she handed me a pocket full of crackers, and I was grateful. And so, you know, I had to learn that they were going to supply whatever it was they were going to supply. And that's important for us to learn tonight, that we may not have the answers to things. And we like to have answers. We do. We like to have answers. We like to know what's going to happen next. But sometimes we don't. And that's where we put our trust in God. Because He supplies what we need by His grace. He supplies what we need by His grace. And then lastly tonight, we are satisfied by His grace. Satisfied by His grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 7, that in the age to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We are satisfied by His grace. Let me tell you something tonight, we don't need anything else. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we've got all that we need. You see, those are the things that we can declare. David declared that he had full trust in God. David declared the unbelievable truth that God was and that God showed him. So our challenge tonight is this. May our hearts be fixed on Him. Not on the things of this life, not on the cares of this life, not on the struggles of this life. We're going to have them. They're not going to go away. And I don't want to discourage you, but when you get through this problem, there's going to be another one to follow. But our heart needs to be fixed on Him. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank You for our time together. And thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You as we just briefly look at a person's life and just a small snapshot of what a person's going through, found in Your Word, and how that by Your grace, by Your love, by your mercy, by your protection, he had what he needed. And help us to apply those things to our own life by your grace. Lord, we declare tonight that you are worthy and that you're who we look to. We declare tonight that we're struggling, but we are hiding in that shadow, that refuge, the shadow of the wings. Help us, Lord. Lord, if there's someone tonight that wants to come and pray that's struggling, that's having a difficulty, that maybe someone doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray that they'll come and talk to you. Lord, you understand. And there's nothing that we can give you tonight that you don't understand. And we can have that confidence and we can have that trust. So, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help us and strengthen us and that we will find that refuge. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.